If you can kneel, please do so. I'm going to pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for blessing us with your presence on this beautiful Sabbath day. Thank you so much for your word that guides us into all truth. And thank you for the courage and the strength and the wisdom that we need to live in these days, these last days, because things are happening so quickly now. And not only do we need to be ready, we need to share our love with others so that, or the love of Christ, better yet, with others so that they too can see that they need to be ready. So please bless our efforts. Bless everyone on our prayer list that's doing the work and those that are lost as well, because there's so many, Father, especially now when they're talking of religious laws and in government now, and we need to get ready. Everybody needs to get ready because that's the final prophecy. And so thank you for letting us be alive and see these things happen in our day. Bless everyone here in attendance, on the radio, on the phone, in the room, everyone that's on our prayer list, and everyone that's doing the work as individuals and as your son's bride. And Father, we are so worthy. Thank you for blessing us with the light of rain and help us to better our walks so that as we strive on to perfection, we get to the point where even if it's just a smile when they expect a frown, they will see Jesus in us. And that we'll have that many more family members in the kingdom of heaven. And please accept this prayer in the name of your Son, who is our Savior and King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen. Okay. I'm thinking this is the last week for the last day's study. We're on question 30 and 31, and then 32 and 3 are just, you know, fairly quick. So without any further ado, why don't we just jump right in? Question number 30. It says, after we have obeyed God and separated away from all churches that make up Babylon, are we to remain alone and worship God by ourselves? And the answer to that is found in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23 to 25. And it says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Thank you, Brother Sean. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. Now, yes, many will be confused by that statement in these last days when so many brick-and-mortar churches are all over the place, yet nary a one believes as we do. That's why it's so difficult. This is why we meet online. And so how does one not forsake the fellowship when there's no church in their area to attend? Well, as many of you here today discovered, you know, there are everything from, you know, meeting in the chat room here to the radio, the online streaming that we do live every Sabbath, teleconferencing. That's what we do, but that's not where it ends. And it's certainly not going to be available soon anyway when we're censored even more than we are right now, because I just got word again the other day that somebody that's been following the videos on YouTube was concerned that I was dead or something because no videos have been showing up on my YouTube page, even though I used to do 3 a week. Now I'm doing 1 or 2 a week. And I says, oh, man, check your browser cache because I've been doing them. And so he's not getting them. You know, they're censoring us like crazy. And Pastor Craig was just telling me last night as well that he has no activity whatsoever on his new YouTube channel. It's just dead in the water. No one's coming. So, but do you recall where the apostles and the early Christians met to worship the Lord each Sabbath? Many of them met in their homes with their like-minded neighbors. And when their homes were too small, they would meet in the fields or forests because they knew they were not going to be welcome or even safe to meet in the synagogues. In fact, when it got real bad, most only met in homes, and some were even forced into the catacombs of Rome just to survive. My personal opinion on that is they should have left. They shouldn't have stuck around in the city. I mean, they waited till the last minute, just like a lot of people do today. They're waiting till the last minute to come out of the cities. And look what happened 2,000 years ago. They ended up going into the catacombs, which meant certain death. I mean, just breathing that atmosphere down there with all the dead bodies. Yeah, most everybody that went down in there died of some strange disease. So, but as I have said for decades, and will say for as many more years as the Lord allows us to remain on the sinful world, the church started by meeting in the homes, and it's going to end by meeting in the homes. And by the way, it's a good thing to pass out the cards and tracts and such, but how many of you are stopping to share your faith with your neighbors? You know, I know of more than one family that joins us online each Sabbath that actually have more than one family from their neighborhood sitting in their living room with them. And so I ask, what will those of you that have homes do when we are removed from the internet? I mean, sure, you can worship the Lord alone in your homes, and there's no sin in that. In fact, it's preferred. You do not have to join any apostate church just for fellowship, even though some people actually do that because they crave it. But would it not be better if you had a friend or two or 10 from the area to join in worship with in your home or their home each Sabbath? You know, one of the blessings of the home church is that it's extremely difficult for Satan to infiltrate them because the gatherings, they're so small. And it's not like the brick-and-mortar churches, and they're widely scattered to the point where, and see, this is why the huge, I was just talking with, what was I talking with this about the other day? Oh, man, I don't remember. It was on the phone. I think it was Tony, about how, like, in this small town near us, we're out in the cornfields now, so we're even further away from Fowler, Indiana. But Fowler, Indiana, it's only 3,000, I think, 3,000 or 4,000 people in that, 3,500, I think. They've got a 20,000-seat monstrosity in there with a woman pastor. And it's all set up for a reason. You know, Bill Hybels and Bill Clinton got together with that Willow Creek situation, and then, yeah, ever since then, you got all these massive churches like Joel Osteen's. You know, a small church filled with obedient believers will eventually discover the evil soul in their midst when they infiltrate. And they will be dealt with via, you know, Matthew 18 jurisprudence. You know, because they'll play the part that they are a real Christian, let's say, just to infiltrate. But you can't, your fruits are going to be known eventually. You know, see, that's one of the downfalls, you know, having the online church, because we're not close enough to where we can meet all the time. That's why we do our camp meetings. But yeah, it's difficult. But at the same time, the way we have the security set up here, we're okay. And so, again, we must never forsake the fellowship, as it does bless us with the spiritual and physical resources the body of Christ is going to need in the coming days. And so share your faith with people in your area so as to help them to see what you see. But use discernment as well. You know, be very discerning in who you're sharing this with. And then both you and your neighbor are going to be blessed in doing so. Because one of the things that you're going to see if we are part of the Gideon Band is when some of the people that come up to us, as the prophet Amos says they will, because the foundation's already been set for that mindset. The prophecy is, as we know in Amos chapter 8, that there's going to be a lot of people that are going to be running around, you know, all over the world looking for Bible verses to vindicate them. Because now they know what we've been saying for decades is true. This is the last generation. They know, because we've been pretty vocal. The loud cry's done, and it really went global. And so now they know that what we've been saying is true, and now they want to try to find a Bible verse that says they're still going to make it home to heaven because, you know, they're not concerned reprobate. But there's no such verse. They are reprobate. They will not make it home to heaven because the plagues have begun, and they waited too long to get serious about their walk. And no, it doesn't have to be your, by the way, your next door neighbor if you still live in a city, by the way. Some people feel uncomfortable doing that for some reason, but you can share your faith with people that frequent the stores you do, that confirms if they, you know, they go to the same stores you do, then they are no doubt close enough to gather on Sabbath if you have to. And before you know it, you may find your next door neighbor becomes moved by the Lord to join in too. So, but yeah, it's a strange world out there, but just be safe and be very discerning, because that's one of the hard things is, you know, asking people to come into your home. And You got to be really sure about it. And this is what I tell a lot of people that are always asking. We've got literally thousands now that are looking for churches that believe as we do. And that's why most of them hit the radio, and a few of them, as you see, we don't get that many here in the audio chat, but unless, of course, you count the families that are gathering together as one here. But the amount of people, the majority don't come in the chat rooms and whatnot. They're doing this from their homes. And they know as well that, yeah, like today I just got an email, and I praise God for this email. The way this woman worded it, I haven't seen an email like this in years, and I thought it was such a blessing to hear the way she... I'm going to contact her, even though the server sends an email to let you know, come to the chat room if until we can find you a church, because people aren't going to invite you in their home unless they know you're safe, and so they got to get to know you first, and so there's some, you know, back and forth that's going to have to happen. But I like the way she worded it. She says, now, I'm not looking for a church that's filled with church members. I'm looking for a church that's filled with disciples. Sounds like our kind of people, right? And so that, you know, that is beautiful when you hear that kind of a thing, especially in these last days when that's a rarity. So anyway, let's go to question 31. And it says, as we cannot go back to those in Babylon, then who are we safe to fellowship with? 1 John 1:17 says, but if you walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. So I can say amen to that. And this is why all of us left the apostate churches we used to attend. And as we saw 2,000 years ago, the Lord needed to scatter the people far and wide to spread his message, and so today he does the same. Right before the latter rain falls, and the fact nine of us, that was a long time ago. That's like, yeah, this, never mind. But but regardless, even though we are sometimes thousands of miles apart, we can rest assured that this fellowship is just as valid as the fellowship we have in Jesus, who is light years from, you know, Earth, because he's in New Jerusalem right now. And we know how quickly he can be here. It's just like how quickly it took the angels to go back to New Jerusalem, let the Lord know that Daniel was just thrown in the lion's den, and before he hit the ground, the angels were able to come back at the same time, that quickly, and stop the lion's mouths, close them. And so you're safe all night. And so we're not concerned about that. But all too often, Satan likes to tempt the child of God to crave being with like-minded brethren. And when they cannot find some in their area, they won't obey the Lord and have fellowship with him each Sabbath, or even start a small home church, or just understand they are in fellowship with his people just by being in agreement with his written word, no matter how far apart you are. And so because they got to have the fellowship and they got to have the back and forth and all this other stuff, they choose to attend a church near them that they know for a fact is in apostasy, just so they can have physical experience of fellowship. See, this is how crafty this demon is that we're messing with here. I mean, it is people like this that the Lord cannot trust with the latter rain when it falls. Because going into apostasy is the exact opposite of what Jesus calls his bride to do. It says in Revelation 18, verses 4 and 5, come out of her, my people, that you be not partaker of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. And so that's an area you just don't want to go in. I mean, as students of Bible prophecy, we all know he is speaking through the angel here regarding coming out of Babylon, and the basic Greek definition of the word Babylon is confusion. And so for someone to step into an SDA or a Baptist or worse yet a Catholic church knowing they preach things the obedient child of God cannot agree with means they are already in spiritual confusion. And so perhaps that is where they want to be anyway. As students in the Word, we have to stand firm in the Word. The Catholic Church is obvious in their confusion, as is the Baptist and all the other denominations that keep Sunday. But thanks to the infiltration by the Jesuits into the SDA Church, most miss the confusion because they actually use the same global to local evangelistic tactics or teaching methods. And what I mean by that is, and I've seen Rome do this. I was Catholic for 29 years, and I've seen Rome do this. And after I became a Sabbath keeper, I started seeing the SDA Church do this. You'll hear an SDA preacher say something spiritually insane on a pulpit one day in a local church. When you question the church in general, their response is, well, not all of us agree with that preacher. I mean, you see this online a lot, for example, like when Dwight Nelson said Allah is God, right? And a lot of people says, you know, all the esters say, oh, we don't agree with that guy. We don't agree with that guy. No, 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 we don't agree with that guy. And they leave it at that. What the church leaders should say is, because this is what they do, they approach the church leaders, says, oh, we don't agree with that guy. You know, just, you know, go to a church that you can trust. But what the church leaders should say when they're approached is, yes, we heard him say that, and we immediately removed him from the pulpit until he repents. But they don't. When the leaders let their preachers declare such things as Allah is God or homosexual marriage is okay or even Sunday Sabbath is no big deal. I actually did a video on that one. I actually did a video on all these. And or that the health message is quackery or ordaining women is acceptable. That's promoting confusion. Because when they don't rebuke these pastors on an individual basis, it's the exact same thing Rome does when they move the priests around after they get caught molesting kids or preaching something crazy. Because I remember when I was growing up, my dad used to say, yeah, we don't go to that church. That priest said this one day. But yet you stay in the Catholic Church because he's not excommunicated. That priest should have been removed from that pulpit. All of them, actually. But as a Catholic, we didn't know that there was a better way of finding truth. But the truth behind this matter was that priest that said the crazy thing from the pulpit that day should have been removed from the pulpit, just like Dwight Nelson's or John Carter or Doug Batchelor or Walter Veith or any of these other guys that preach strange things once in a while. They don't have to do it all the time. They just got to do it once in a while. I mean, that has worked well with Rome because Rome banks on the fact that most in their churches don't want to do the work of following Christ, and so allowing the confusion keeps them in the pews with a false sense of security because they trust their leaders above the Lord their God. Just like they did 2,000 years ago. And yes, that means they serve the creature more than the Creator, as Romans 1:25 predicted they would. And as for those that want to do the right thing in the church, since they ignore the call to come out of apostasy, they grant Satan the permission to manipulate them with confusion by using the excuse, don't let that strange sermon bother you, brother. Just know, we don't all teach that way. And that's Rome has used that for thousands of years to keep people in the churches, and now the SDA Church is doing it too because Rome is running it. And so the bottom line is this. Do you want to glorify God? Do you want to live forever in heaven? Do you want to be part of the Gideon band? And do you want to be used of God to bring many souls into the truth in the coming days? Then if you do, obey the God of the Bible and ignore the men, and in some cases the women who stand as pastors, that twist the Bible so as to make merchandise of the people sitting in the pews. See, the main reason they want the people in there is because of the money, especially in some of the churches that have got government loans. And that's one thing that, sadly, the SDA Church fell for when the Jesuits infiltrated. They talked them into getting a loan that they can't pay back. It's impossible. Now the loan's too big. They're having a hard time paying just the interest back. And government loans are low interest, 1 or 2%. They can't even pay that back, so they're locked in. They have no recourse. I mean, and the 501c3 locks them in as well, especially since they were one of the first to get it. So if they step away from the 501c3, they've got excise and back taxes and penalties that goes back since I can't remember exactly when they got it. I mean, there was one street preacher that came up upon me one day and says they got it back in the 1830s. And I thought, well, you know, when some of the pioneers were out in Australia so as to hide it. But I don't know. All I know is it went down in 1954. But the fact of the matter is this. By their fruits you shall know them. And two just simply can't walk together unless they be agreed. So, question number 32. What if we only find one or two others to fellowship with? Will Christ ignore our church service because of there being a so few worshipers participating? Matthew 18:20 says this. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And yes, even if you're all alone in gathering with us online, that constitutes a lot more than three people gathering. I mean, still, some people out there are all alone on Sabbath with no internet or means by which to join with others. Does the Lord ignore their Sabbath day worship hour? Of course not. For it is also written in Matthew 28:20, Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen? And so, and keep this in mind as well. As a true Christian, you're never alone. First and foremost, the Holy Spirit in your heart is always there. And the angel assigned to minister to you on a daily, well, hourly basis, he's also there. The Lord never stipulated as to who was to be present when he said two or three gathered. Okay? I'm just going with, you know, technicalities here, but, you know, still, you could be alone. Yeah, look at John the Baptist out there getting educated by God out there in the wilderness all alone. So don't worry about that. The Lord looks at the heart. It doesn't, you know, that's the main thing here. And the Holy Spirit and every good angel is also going to be gathered in the name of the Lord. And so even if you're all alone without anyone nearby to worship the Lord with, you are in the presence of His Holy Spirit, your assigned angel, and so Jesus is right there with you just as He promised to be. And on Sabbath day, you got all the hosts of heaven. See, that always confused me. Even as a Sunday keeper, I thought, why are we meeting on Sundays when all the angels, Enoch, Elijah, Moses, and the, I didn't know about the 24 elders back then, but, you know, why are we meeting on a day after they all met in heaven? That never made sense to me. But anyway, let's go to the very last question. What are we to do with this glorious heaven-sent light about the need to separate from Babylon so that we can become the sons and daughters of God? John 13:17 says, if you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. And that's part of that perfect peace. Or even the simplicity of Christ that I'm going to be talking about in a little while. And just so you know, the word happy comes from the Greek word, what is it, makarios, makarios? Yeah, I think it is, makarios, which is defined as blessed and happy. And yes, this has to do with that perfect peace Jesus promises His obedient bride. The basic reality is, when you come to know Jesus, this world means nothing to you. And so all the turmoil, all the trials, and even all the hate spewed out by those that hate Jesus doesn't take away from the peace we have in Jesus. And so it makes perfect sense to say that as an obedient Christian, if you know these things, happy are ye if you do these things or do them. It's just an amazing, amazing thing to see how even here, you know, just by doing the basics in Christianity, the Lord will keep us safe and blessed. And in these last days, especially now, when they're literally talking about, you know, religious laws in the media and in the Hollywood and, oh man, I just can't even think of all the articles. Tomorrow I'll probably post a video or maybe even Monday morning. I don't know. Cause it's going to take me a little time. I mean, I got the audio done. It's just the, putting in all these articles, and I'm not even going to put all the articles in that I have on my Religious Laws Are Coming page on the website. And the reason I made that site is because of what I saw going. Well, actually, I got sparked to move ahead and actually watch things a little closer. And I think I mentioned this in the video when I saw what Rick Perry said in Texas when he was running for president in his ill-fated campaign of 2012 against Obama. And he was more or less on a pulpit in a church after a pastor spoke in regards to how they need to ignore Jesus Christ. I mean, they didn't literally say it in those words, but what they were saying was, you know, church and state has to join together even more so than it already has, is what he was speaking. And that sparked an interest in me because of the way the final prophecy is a religious law. If you look at the word mark of the beast in Scripture, every time you see the mark, you'll always see the word worship, every time. So the last prophecy is already, the foundation set. You know, I mean, forget about all the credit cards and the debit cards, the cashless society, the Bitcoin, and I mean, that stuff, we knew that stuff was set up, and we knew that that could be a foot dragger. Like right now, I think it's like 93% of the people in India, the most populated country on the planet, is cashless. So it's already set up. I mean, it's just a matter of dropping the other shoe. That's done. It's a done deal. But the religious law thing, it wasn't very apparent, especially the last, you know, when Obama was in office or Clinton was in office, when they were totally anti-Christ, anti-Christian attitudes. And but with this new administration, and they're pushing their version of, well, it's a Catholic version of Jesus. That's why I started the page during the 2016 campaign, because I figured if Trump wins, this is going to really, it's going to be easier for the Christians for a little while, yeah, because we're going to get somewhat of a break, because if Hillary got in there, it would be really difficult for Christians to go forward and do certain things, even though we're going to do it anyway. Who cares about the line in the streets? You know, I mean, right after they stoned Paul, he went right back into the city. So we're going to have that heaven sent courage. Some of us already do, but the way they're talking now, and yeah, that's not long before we're going to see the religious laws, you know, being lobbied and passed. And now, since Trump did what he did to give, and I should have mentioned that in the video, since Trump did what he did in regards to the pastors having the ability to lobby religious law, man, I think I'll put an article up on that. Yeah, I think I do have one of those. I got to write, matter of fact, I better write that one down. I'll just put 501c3 lobby law in my notes here, because everything's set in place for that too. And with these school shootings and whatnot, yeah, and all the disasters, and I mentioned a few of those too. If you notice, all these strange things that are happening, from the disasters to the school shootings to the drugs to the alcoholism to the fornication to the promiscuity of everybody, you know, the homosexuality, marriages, 75% of marriages fail, and it's just all that. It's end times. All that. And in their desperation, because they're reveling in sin so much, they're going to cry out to the wrong Jesus. And then the end's going to come. Hope and pray you're blessed. Be back in a minute.